And that was quite a good segue there, because I mean, you know, as Bill and Sam were by talking about, you know, advocacy and spreading the word is a really important component of this, of sort of what we're doing, and maybe one that's been a little bit less examined than donations. So that picture there is obviously the Ice Bucket Challenge. You might recognize it from 2014. So over 2.5 million. Videos on Facebook. Facebook alone were tagged with Ice Bucket Challenge. It raised over $100 million for ALS, or motor neuron disease, as we call it here. And obviously, as many have pointed out, including Will McCaskill, you know, it was a case of a successful campaign, a successful charity campaign, but it wasn't, you know, really a case of an example of effective altruism. As Will said, you know, the key problem really, one of the key problems is funding cannibalism. So it was, you know, it was great that they raised all that money for ALS. But you know, as he says, you know, certainly part of that probably came out of people's charity budgets and wasn't going to sort of the more effective life-saving causes. Still, I think it sort of illustrates the power of what we do online and how it can make a big difference. And I think Will has sort of pondered what might have been achieved. You know, if the Ice Bucket Challenge was sort of directed at, you know, deworm the world or sort of against malaria. So today I really just wanted to do a brainstorm of methods that we might use to do good, better online. You know, many of us spend a few hours a day, I think, wasting time on the internet. and I guess I'm interested in how some of that time might be put to good use, you know, especially for those of us who are students or on lower incomes, although I think as we saw yesterday, as Julia Wise has shown, that's certainly no barrier to giving a significant amount of money. But, you know, this is maybe some low-hanging fruit for us as EAs, and I think this is especially apropos because, you know, EA is really a digital native movement. So, you know, who am I to talk about this? So I'm doing a PhD in digital culture, but I don't want you to see me as an expert in that because I'm not an expert in, you know, the marketing research, the comms research, persuasion, any of that stuff. So take all that with a grain of salt. Really, I guess more my expertise is as a freelance writer and sort of copywriter. So I've done some stuff for the BBC and The Guardian. I'm now doing a bit of freelance stuff for BuzzFeed. Speaking of which, here's my 16 listicle of 16 things you can do on the internet that are pretty much guaranteed to make the world a better place. Of course, I'm just kidding. So, you know, I encourage you, again, to be skeptical about everything I say. Really just sort of wanting to start a conversation. You know, these aren't, you know, tested for effectiveness. And, you know, maybe, you know, at some point we will be able to test some of this. But, you know, a lot of this is kind of common sense. I will refer to some relevant studies where... you know, where I can. So I think a big problem, you know, is that sort of in my area, certainly, you know, there's a lot of doubt about the effects of media and social media. A lot of people say, you know, it's lazy activism, clicktivism. You know, the opposite camp says that social media can be really transformative and, you know, helped to sort of push forward the Twitter revolutions. You know, maybe the truth is somewhere in between. That obviously, you know, social media and the internet can be effective tools for publicity, but, you know, they can maybe be ineffective. They can also have some negative impacts, sort of maybe creating movements with shallow engagement. I think, as I said, you know, the good thing is the cost isn't very high. You know, this kind of advocacy can be fun, social, creative. Even if it's not very effective, I think it's probably not cannibalizing your charity budget too much, or your, you know, other things you could be doing. Certainly, I think for me, at least anecdotally, you know, I came into contact initially with Peter Singer's ideas through a copy of Practical Ethics, so not on the internet. But then everything since then I encountered was through initially forums online and then Facebook. So it certainly sort of worked for me. I think a lot of people have been converted through, you know, Peter Singer's TED Talk and sort of other sort of online resources. I'll refer later on to maybe some exceptions and some risks in online advocacy as well. I think it is possible to, you know, to do bad online rather than good online. So we have to be watchful of that. And for this notion of sort of moral licensing that Will talks about. So this idea that, you know, we think that if we do just a little bit, we're kind of done with charity. So, you know, we've sort of clicked on a petition, whatever, you know, that's us settled. So we sort of have to see this as a small step towards a bigger commitment or a lifestyle change. So without further ado, a lot of these are pretty obvious, but just to kind of list them all. So, you know, researcher Zeynep Tufekci, she's talked about how she's looked at some of these movements, social movements forming through Twitter and Facebook, compared them with the old, say, civil rights movements, movement in the US in the 60s, and looked at how, you know, those movements in the 60s had these close personal bonds. You know, they were sort of photocopy or sort of manually printing these flyers in the South during those civil rights struggles. So I think it's good to build these strong, you know, sort of ties online where we can. And I think I was having a conversation yesterday. I think EA movement is pretty good with this. So I guess I'm just encouraging you to, you know, go to your Facebook and sort of friend and follow as many of your fellow you know, EAs as possible. Certainly something that I do, and, you know, I've maybe friends with 100 or 200 people, and it means that there's a constant kind of background noise of, you know, issues, events, initiatives and stuff to kind of keep me engaged. You know, another no-brainer, liking and favouriting stuff. I guess what's important here is that, you know, the affordances of Facebook mean that, you know, we can reach those who are, you know, edge cases. So there's this sort of idea in sort of, you know, communications research and sort of research into social media of homophily, where, you know, like-minded people tend to stick together. So Israel supporters sort of stick together online, Palestinian supporters stick together. They don't really talk to each other. And I think with, you know, liking stuff on Facebook, it does mean that, you know, you can reach people who aren't necessarily EAs, but, you know, might be willing to, you know, be sympathetic to that. Another no-brainer is obviously sharing and sort of retweeting a little bit more investment. So I think, you know, this is obviously important for signal boosting. You know, the notorious Kony 2012 campaign, so a really iconic example of ineffective altruism. you know, that wasn't a simple video that someone just sort of dropped, you know, into the sort of sea of YouTube one day and sort of went viral. You know, there was a network of people pushing that out who helped it spread. In fact, I think it's kind of a myth that stuff always just spreads organically online. You know, it needs, you know, in that case, it had a network of people who were sort of saying, yeah, I'm an advocate for this. I'm gonna share it among my network. So I think that can help. You know, again, it's pretty obvious, but it can be helpful. So sort of gradually moving up the level of commitment here. So joining and starting groups. So, you know, obviously the Effective Altruism Facebook group, your local group in Melbourne or your local university. 80,000 hours, effective animal altruism, giving what we can. You know, the various sort of NGOs working in this area or that sort of are sympathetic. Also, you know, consider starting your own Facebook group at your university or workplace. And you know, if that's a bit of a stretch, I think many places would be sort of too small to support something like that. You know, a group for those who are sympathetic, as I said, to sort of EA ideas. So, you know, an animal rights group, a group sort of committed to alleviating global poverty, for example. There we go. So posting, tweeting, commenting, editing, on, you know, a range of platforms. Again, this is pretty obvious, but, you know, Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, Reddit, you know, book review sites, Amazon reviews. You know, Facebook really rules, you know, the social web at the moment. So I'd be, you know, in the first instance, usually thinking about Facebook, to reach as many people as possible. But Twitter can also be useful, I think, for sort of getting into a conversation, a sort of a more of a public conversation, particularly about public policy. So I think a great example of this, recently is the Black Lives Matter movement transpiring in the US. Individuals like D. Ray McKesson, who I think have really pushed this sort of, you know, concerns about racism and sort of police brutality to the front of the political agenda. And I think probably EAs have quite a bit to learn about these sort of older style, or sort of, you know, traditional social justice movements that maybe we haven't engaged with yet. You know, on a smaller scale, you know, just you know, posting, tweeting, commenting can help to change just one mind. And if you change just one mind, well, you know, potentially you've doubled the impact that you've made over your whole life. There's you know, another example of something you can do. You know, you can edit Wikipedia. I think this page has obviously been tremendously effective. I know one EA who sort of created and edited a range of pages on sort of animal suffering, animal rights, sort of found that there was a gap there. You know, I think when you're talking online, again, it doesn't have to be about EA. You can help sort of, you know, help the cause of effective altruism, and you don't have to be talking about EA. So for instance, you know, here in Australia, the AusPol hashtag, you know, is where people gather on Twitter to talk about politics. And, you know, I occasionally see, maybe once or twice I've seen people try and sort of talk about, you know, EA on there. And, you know, it's never really very high impact. But that's because you have to pick your, you know, pick your audience. And I think if you're going on there, you'd more be talking about issues like, you know, the huge $12 billion cuts to foreign aid, climate change, et cetera. So joining effective campaigns, this is really just an idea, you know, that there are, you know, the major NGOs have online campaigns like Oxfam Trailwalker. You know, this could be a good place to, you know, find and start conversations about EA. Take this one with a grain of salt. I think the jury might be out on this one. So, you know, these online petitions were really emblematic of, you know, slacktivism and clicktivism, but I thought I did need to mention them. They probably can be useful for starting a conversation. I think they're also really used for fundraising. So, you know, you have organizations like GetUp, Avaaz, etc. You know, in the first instance, you know, it's about signing a petition, but also it's ultimately about sort of building a movement and raising funds and, you know, applying political pressure. I think, you know, moral licensing is maybe a concern there. This idea that, like, oh, okay, I've clicked on a petition, I don't have to do any more. On the other hand, I think there's a little bit of research I've seen that suggests that that's not the case, and that, you know, that, you know, these sort of small acts can be a entryway into, you know, a sort of a deeper involvement in the movement. But that's not my area. I mean, I do wonder whether you know, it's worth EAs considering forming a type of movement akin to these quite successful sort of petition-based groups like Avaaz and GetUp, All Out, Move On, maybe something to consider one day. Blogging. So, you know, there's a few prominent EAs who blog. Julia Wise, as mentioned yesterday, Rob Wiblin. You know, you don't have to blog on a traditional blogging platform. So, you know, Medium, BuzzFeed community, there's plenty of other sites you can go to, as well as you know, the obvious ones like WordPress, or even just, you know, Facebook. I mean, it's my anecdotal observation that people are increasingly staying on Facebook for their content, using it as a content delivery system. So a little bit different from maybe a couple of years ago when the blogosphere was this sort of thriving ecosystem. I think now we often get our content through Facebook, which means that, you know, maybe blogging is as simple as doing a sort of extended post on Facebook. And I think if you're interested in this area and you're good at it, have a chat to maybe Kerry Vaughan from the CEA. He was talking about perhaps starting a blogging project. So, you know, very similar to blogging, it's sort of publishing. So we live, I think, in the age of the think piece. Which has got a lot of criticism, but I think, you know, think pieces are actually perfect for EAs, because, you know, it is an idea that sort of needs, you know, 700 or 800 words sometimes to communicate and sort of to broach some of the possible objections. You know, it's also a good time to get involved in freelance writing. I think, you know, never before has it been easier for people, you know, with no publishing experience to, you know, to get published. Maybe because, you know, they don't pay as much now, so there's a sort of lower barrier to entry. You know, we're talking here about the sort of journalism of conviction, as Habermas called it. So getting into the public sphere, you know, making the case in an intelligent way. And I guess the difference here, you know, with blogging is that, you know, you're on a platform with more of a higher profile. It obviously gives you a boost in terms of your, you know, audience, your page views, your virality, and it gives a sort of a bit of prestige that maybe, you know, blogging doesn't have. Makes people listen to you a bit more carefully. You know, who to publish for, you know, range of options here in Australia, you know, Fairfax, so The Age, The Sydney Morning Herald, you know, youth publications like Junkie, The Guardian, local papers, you know, their sort of online blogs like Overland. Overseas, or I can maybe talk to them outside if you sort of want to have some ideas about overseas publications. But, you know, you don't have to think in terms of these national publications. You know, there's the, you know, university paper, professional journals, student journals, you know, in say, law or medicine or real estate or whatever it is, the LGBT press, arts publications, animals publications, you know, your company's sort of internal communications. So, you know, many of these, you know, look like they might not be appropriate, but I think, you know, you can sort of work out a way of pitching an EA message to those various sort of specialist publications by finding the link. And I don't think it's a stretch to find the link between EA and the law or EA and medicine. As an example of one I did for The Guardian on caged eggs. So again, you know, EA articles don't necessarily mention EA, although I have, you know, and this one I think I pitched to the typical middle class Guardian reader who, you know, they go to a upper middle class cafe and they eat, you know, brunch, and the brunch has eggs in it, and the eggs was probably from a caged hen. So here's another example, a great article by Will McCaskill. You know, maybe an example of how you can get creative with EA ideas. You know, there's a really huge range of angles you could take. You know, I encourage you to take them. 5 minutes. Cool. So yeah, I mean, it's not about doing an explainer on EA, although I think we are still at that stage, but you know, really, there's a huge galaxy of options for you. Memes and shareables. I don't want to make too much of this. I don't make any claims to the effectiveness of this kind of communication. just one I found on a Google image search. You know, we have seen some memes around AIDS. Particularly, there's a lot of vegan memes. I mean, I think really, I don't know how persuasive these are. I think they are good at sort of building a movement, building sort of solidarity. We saw in Australia some memes to do with, you know, the federal budget and income inequality. So, you know, I wonder whether these are worth trying out for EA. You know, and you can put them together in like 5 or 10 seconds. thinking visually. So if you're not a writer, you know, consider other forms of communication. It's a climate change cartoon from Sam Wallman, not really a cartoon, but just an interesting cartoon on climate change that expressed quite a, you know, subtle idea, you know, Sam's ideas about resistance to climate change, grassroots resistance, that was expressed in the form of a, you know, a cartoon webcomic, and infographics, probably more to the point. You know, I think these have traditionally been used by EAs, and I think they're a promising tool. Moving up the ladder of commitment, you know, viral videos, I think have lots of exciting potential. These are a sort of a high investment, though. They, you know, probably to do them well, you know, you need a little bit of money. You need some people involved. So yeah, I mean, I'd caution about that, because if you're spending money, you know, maybe the money's better off going to deworm the world, rather than a gamble like this. But you know, if you are, interested, maybe have a chat to me, later. I'd be interested in sort of starting off a group, dedicated to brainstorming, ideas like this. And I think what we're looking for here is kind of, you know, pranks, experiments, you know, time lapses, you know, it's sort of surprising takes on the sort of EA idea. you know, and we might have to do a few before, you know, one really works. But I think if it does work, that could be, you know, really effective. Again, I don't know about this idea, but I thought I'd mention it. You know, there has been quite a few sort of participatory memes. I don't really have a term in the literature. You know, the Ice Bucket Challenge was one of them. This was a sort of participatory meme during the Gaza war, actually promulgated by both sides sort of simultaneously. You know, this is a bit speculative, but, you know, there maybe is room for EAs to start thinking more in terms of a sort of participatory exercise. I know one scholar in this field has said that's, you know, that can be helpful in sort of spreading an idea when people, you know, proactively do something to sort of spread the idea. Code something, I know there are a few people here in computer science. So, you know, games, toys, bots is one use of the sort of federal election context, you might remember. But, you know, this is probably a bit more apropos from the giving what we can website. I mean, I know I've sent this to about 10 people. And, so thinking outside, you know, pictures and words, you know, you might actually be coding something. Getting creative. So, you know, I've been pretty skeptical, very skeptical previously about the role of art and creativity, even though I sort of am involved in that area. But, you know, there have been some, they were even mentioned yesterday, some sort of quite famous creative works. Here's Harriet Beecher Stowe's Uncle Tom's Cabin, and, of course, Charles Dickens' works on child labour that I think have made a difference. So I'm not sure that we'd be writing a novel these days, but, you know, comedies, you know, YouTube videos, games, visual arts, you know, maybe an area to investigate. And, you know, the obvious one is giving online, but, you know, giving in that sort of evangelical way, possibly. So, you know, not just giving, but, you know, maybe telling people that you have given. Have I got enough time? Do you want me to wrap it up? I can have a chat with you afterwards. I had some pointers on the sort of tactics that we might use, or the sort of things we might think about when we're communicating EA, but if you want to have a chat, maybe hit me up afterwards. Thanks very much.